Hey everyone, welcome back to our podcast.
Hey guys, we just had some serious technical issues, but we are ready.
Yeah, we are ready. We are here. And we are here to talk about something that was actually requested, also, remember, a while ago. I remember, actually not anyone, but Martin, who has also been on the podcast a few months ago. I think he once asked, why do people get triggered? What causes triggers?
So, that's true, I remember.
Surprise, surprise. Today we're talking about triggers.
We are talking about triggers. And this has been a topic that's been very close to my heart lately. Because I've been feeling very, very triggered. And yeah, how do we start this? I guess we should explain what is a trigger.
I think there is a very big difference between triggers in a more colloquial language sense, because again, it's a word that is used very often, you know, like, oh my God, I'm so triggered by this.
Mm-hmm.
And like to a severe trigger.
Yeah.
In like when we come to therapy or something. But generally, I would say that a trigger is a moment where you, and I'm talking about like more like everyday life when we say, you know, I'm so triggered by this. I think it's a moment where you respond to your environment in a way that is very disproportionate to what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's you may be really overwhelmed or react in a very emotional, angry, anxious, whatever way, even though if someone saw this from the outside, like rationally, it wouldn't be in proportion to what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would explain a trigger.
Yeah, and I think the key point of a trigger is your reaction is not to the present environment.
Mm.
So your reaction is not in response to what's actually happening in the moment. And I think that is when something is a trigger rather than something that, you know, things can make you very upset or very angry. But it's much different than a trigger, because the difference is that something that triggers you is tapping into a memory or a feeling or thought from a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. I think when we already kind of like dive into the psychoanalytic point of view, which is very much applicable to triggers, I think, it's that we believe in psychoanalysis that we're never just us in this present moment. You know what I mean? Like we always carry our entire life history with us and like our relationships to other people, and like we're very multidimensional as humans. We are, you know, no, but I want to say, you know, there's many different parts to ourselves. Like there is our environment, there is our upbringing, there is our families, there is the society we grew up in, etc. So it's never just me in a sense. And we always see the external world through a lens of our inner psychic world. And I think when you're being triggered, as you say, it's not about the external world. It's not about what's happening. It's about your unconscious and what's going on in there. And the question is why it is triggered in that moment. You know, why kind of the defense, I guess, kind of shuts down. Because when you're being triggered, as I said, I think it's really about you cannot think rationally. Your rationality is kind of like out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And even like a few hours or a few days or whatever later, you can look back at it and be like, bam, why was I so triggered?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that your defenses are so low. It's almost like you get triggered because something catches you off guard.
Exactly.
You're not prepared to protect yourself, or you're not prepared to make yourself feel better I'm not even sure how to say it. You're just not ready for it. You don't know that it's coming. And I think in that case, you're just mentally not in a place where you can deal with it.
Exactly. I think, as you say, like, I think it's not like all the defenses are low and weak, but each one of us has a very different history of experiences, upbringing, etc. And therefore, we all have a lot of shit in stored in our unconscious, and we don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Because that's the whole theory about the unconscious. You don't know what's in there. So when you're triggered by something, it's almost like a signal, hey, there may be an issue there. Like there is something there, especially if you keep being triggered by kind of the same patterns or by the same thing. But I know that I think it also depends on the maturity of the person in a psychodynamic sense, in the personality structure sense, that some people get probably more triggered by more different things, and other people may not get triggered very often, but by only a few specific things. But as you say, I also think it really catches you off guard, and you probably also are very overwhelmed and confused by it. And it's almost like when you're being triggered, it happens so fast that there is like no way to observe the process. There's no way in the moment to think like, oh my God, why am I being triggered? No, you're just being triggered. And you kind of just later can try to go back and understand what's going on there. So there is always a connection from the present to the past, as we also think in psychoanalysis. But in the moment of being triggered, there is like no chance that you can make that connection.
Also, when I think about triggers and stuff like that, I always think about, at least with me, it's so subtle. Also, what's being triggered, it's extremely hard to figure it out. And in that case, it's completely understandable why the same things keep triggering you, because they will keep triggering you. If you can't find that source and if you can't find that root, and it sounds so easy to say, you just have to figure out where it came from. But this could be like a word that somebody said to you 20 years ago. It's so hard to pinpoint exactly what is being triggered, and I think that's really underestimated. Especially when it's not being triggered by someone. Oftentimes, like an example would be, for some reason, I am home and like I start crying. I'm not even sure what triggered me because it didn't happen in that moment. But something did. So I'm not even sure if I'm crying about the conversation I just had 1 minute ago, or if something happened to me on my way home that triggered me. Like, I think the word trigger is so hard. That's why it's so used too, because anything can be a trigger.
Anything can be a trigger, and it's very true what you're saying. And you know what's so interesting? When I teach a yoga class, and I also know this from going to yoga myself, but also when I teach a yoga class, in the very end, in that last position called Shavasana, when you just like, after let's say an hour of physical practice, you just lay on like your back, your legs spread out, your arms spread out, and it's just about like 5 minutes of complete stillness and just chilling, basically. There's always at least one person who starts crying. And I notice from myself that like half the time that I go to yoga class or even do one at home, I also start crying in that position and in that relaxation phase. And it's so weird because I also don't understand why, but it's completely normal. And I always tell the students, it's very normal because people are so ashamed of it. And they're later like, oh my God, I can't believe I started crying. Why did I cry? But it's definitely a trigger for many of us. And it's really interesting. And I wonder why. I know for myself, oh my God, because I was thinking in preparation for this podcast, I really tried to think what is something that triggers me. And again, you don't know until it kind of happens. But from reflecting so much over the last years, also in therapy, the only thing that I know for sure what triggers me, which may sound so bizarre, but it is when, and this happens, for example, in a yoga class, but it also happens in therapy sometimes. It's when someone tells me in a very empathetic, kind way, stuff like, you're okay. I know this sounds so weird, but I remember I had this yoga teacher and I was sitting and she was just saying, you know, like almost as a mantra. She was like, you're okay. It's gonna be okay. You're okay. And dude, I had a fucking mental breakdown.
Oh
Like,
my
I could
God.
not stop crying. I could not stop crying. And I remember once my therapist said something similar in a very just, he just threw it in there and I just started bawling. I don't know why. For me, there's something so infantile about that. It's like almost you're a little baby and you're being held and you're like, you're okay, you're okay. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
and
That's
see, that's
so
like a
triggering
really,
for me.
that's a really good point because it doesn't have to be something that's outwardly negative.
Definitely not, no.
And it doesn't have to be something that's objectively unpleasant. It can seriously be anything. And that's why I feel like that explains all those situations where you have a reaction and you're thinking like, why am I reacting like this? This is so weird. Or this is so not fitting to what's happening around me. And it's weird because also when you do react and when, let's say, something makes you cry or something makes you emotional, it's almost like a vicious circle because you feel shame and you feel embarrassed and you go through all of that again. And I feel like if we didn't have all those feelings around it, then it wouldn't even be such a trigger, because I feel like with triggers, it's also you fear being triggered, because when you're triggered, you kind of humiliate yourself or you're not in control of the situation. So it's really a fear of mine, especially because I know because my issues are so deep. And because I've gone through some really terrible things for me, for myself, I know that when something triggers me, it's like, I almost think it's like very dangerous for me. Because I know that it kind of, one time my therapist actually said to me, he was like, you're crying like a river of tears. Whenever you start, you cry a river of tears that you fear you can't stop. And with me especially, I'm so in control usually, and I'm so, I don't know, everyone thinks that I'm very unemotional. But once you trigger me, it's very hard for me to turn it off.
But it's funny that it's true. It's funny that, and I know this because I've talked to you about it, that people who meet you often think that you're unemotional. Like, what does that even mean? You know, you're not like a sociopath, but that you're unemotional. But I know for a fact that you, and you also talk about this here on the podcast a lot, that you are very emotional, and that's not something negative, you know, it's often used like as an insult or you're so emotional. But you also openly say that you, when you're at home, you often cry and stuff. So it's very bizarre. It's like very actually the opposite. I'm sorry, I just had to laugh. Guys, I wish you could see us. We look like the biggest idiots when we record.
Yeah,
Anyway,
we look really dumb.
but would you say that you're being triggered like easily? Can you even say that?
No, that's the thing. I think I'm not triggered easily at all. It's very, very hard to trigger me, and that's why I think I keep such a solid composure. Like, it's not an occasion that happens very often. But the thing with me is that if it does happen, it's extremely intense because I think I store so much. And I really, it's not about being unaware of my feelings. I'm very aware of my feelings, but I think I just personally store a lot of pain. It's interesting because in that case, it's not so repressed, it's just not expressed. And I think that's equally as valid when you're being triggered. It could also be something that you are very aware of, but something that you don't communicate with people, or something that you're ashamed of, or
For sure. It's like
something
I
that's too
mean,
hard for you to talk about.
exactly. I mean, you could even say, oh my God, I have to think of a very funny example, I think. Which may be an example of being triggered by something that you're even aware of. But again, the word is very broad, in its use. But I remember once I was still living at home. So this is like years ago. Me and my brothers were still all living at home. And my dad, he doesn't really get angry very often, which I think is not that healthy because, it just means you always repress your anger. But whatever. And then I remember one time he had been not in a very good mood, but then he's more like passive aggressive rather than openly aggressive. And he had been in a not so good mood. I guess he was stressed, etc. And it was a summer evening, I remember, and I was sitting with my brothers in the kitchen eating ice cream out of like the tub, which is something we've always done. Like that's not, we're just sitting having a good time, just whatever. It was so casual. And my dad walks in and he sees us and I don't know, he was so triggered by this. And he started yelling and he was like, What is this? Why are you eating out of the tub, straight from the tub? That's disgusting. And you have to imagine, we were all like with a spoon in our hands looking at him like, what? What are you talking about? And he like freaked out and he stormed off. And he had been really stressed and I guess angry, but couldn't express it. And just this little thing that maybe bothered him, he saw and it just completely triggered. And we couldn't stop laughing. We couldn't stop laughing. And then obviously also remember a day later or something, he came back and he like apologized. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what came over me. Well, that's your trigger for you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a trigger just as much as anything else is.
Yeah, and I think everyone has situations like this. Those would be more like on an everyday kind of scale. I think it's very, very often with aggression.
Definitely.
Because many people still say, I cannot confront things. I'm never angry at someone. I never fight, etc. But then it just like explodes at some point.
Yeah, actually, I have a really weird trigger.
Oh my
That
God.
is on a daily basis. Maybe this is why I have such good composure. But I am extremely triggered by noises that people make. So,
I think a lot of people have that.
yeah, but I have it so intensely. Like, I remember I'm really good at hiding it, but it's gotten a lot better. But when I was in high school, I couldn't even sit in a classroom sometimes, I had to leave. And I would have like bursts of aggression.
Any specific noise that you can think of, like people eating? I know a lot of people
It's
have
always,
that.
it's only people, it's only noises that people make. So like breathing, sniffing, eating.
And you get like I want to get to the bottom of this. I know we won't, but okay, when you hear someone next to you like breathing, let's
It's so
say.
irritating,
But
it
what is
makes
the
me
f what
furious.
okay, it's anger that comes up.
Yeah. No, but it's
Anger.
also extreme irritation. Like, I can't take it. I cannot listen to it. Like, a lot of anxiety.
Okay. And have you like discussed this in therapy?
Yeah, I haven't gotten anywhere.
Okay. I'm really curious what our therapist's input is on this. He would probably be like, it's sexual.
It, of course.
Of course.
So he had like a few ideas, not very good ones.
You mean
honestly,
some that you
because I
didn't
still
like?
have it very, very bad.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like it's a real trigger and it almost destroys me. But it's such a stupid thing.
Yeah.
It's a very small thing that should not matter.
Yeah. Well, but it's funny that you say that because I think a lot of people are triggered by noises, and not necessarily in a negative way, because can we just acknowledge the whole ASMR scene that has like blown up on like YouTube and stuff, and like
Yeah,
so
so
many
that's my
people
worst
are,
nightmare.
yeah, and many people are triggered in a positive way
Right.
by sounds. And it's funny because I remember I found out, I like heard this word ASMR, and if you're listening to this and you don't know what it is, oh shit, I don't know what it stands for now. But it's basically when people have these really good mics and they talk into the mic like really closely and quietly, and they whisper and they make sounds and they open stuff, and it's, you get this really tingly feeling. And some people hate that, and some people, including myself, love it. I love it. And sometimes when I cannot fall asleep, actually not sometimes, like almost every night, I like watch ASMR videos on YouTube. It's so weird. So as you said before, trigger doesn't necessarily need to be in a negative way, even though sometimes it is, of course. I didn't know that
Yeah,
about
so
you. I think you've mentioned it, but I didn't know it was that
it's something that
intense.
I'm very secretive of because I hate being that person.
And also, what would change? Like, if you said it, then people would just be like hyper aware around you, and probably wouldn't dare to like eat next to you or
I
something. You know
know.
what I mean?
But I do like avoid a lot of situations, which I guess I got away with because you didn't notice.
I didn't. Wait. So, hold on a second. I need to ask. When you are sleeping next to someone, you know that thing where, I think everyone knows this, when you sleep next to someone and at some point in the night you lie in a way that your face is like close to their face and you kind of like hear their breath, isn't that like your worst nightmare? Like, can you
No,
sleep when that happens?
if I sleep with somebody, I tell them right away, do not go near me.
No, but it's not even when they're near you, but it's just when you share a bed, you can hear the person breathing, no?
Oh yeah, I have to wear earplugs. I can't do
Oh. You should ask the people you sleep with to wear a mask.
it.
Now with COVID times, you're like, would you mind? I'm really sorry, but with COVID and everything, you know, just I want to just be safe.
It's really weird. It's very hard for me to sleep with people. And I avoid eating with people. But yeah, I feel like I get away with it 'cause I'm pretty like I've been doing this my whole life. I got good at doing that. But yeah, so my therapist had some ideas which I don't really understand. I mean, I understand them, but they didn't really resonate with me, which is fine. It's normal that not everything works or fits. But one of his ideas was like that when my mom was pregnant with me, she was really isolated. I think she was in Singapore or something, and my dad was working, and she was completely alone. She didn't know anyone. So she didn't really talk to anyone. So as a fetus, I'd never heard noise. Weird. Don't really know if that's relevant.
I mean, it's interesting. I think it makes sense, but there's also, I guess, if it
Yeah,
hasn't
but it
really changed anything for you, then it's probably not it, you know?
also I just it doesn't explain why those specific noises bother me so much.
Yeah.
Because then every noise would be annoying.
True. Then you would maybe
The
develop a conversion symptom where you go deaf.
Yeah, probably. The other explanation, of course, was because I shared a bed with my brother, and he had a lot of problems, like with his nose and breathing. And I think it really irritated me, but of course, our therapist's explanation would be that I had some sexual fantasies about my brother.
Of course.
And those noises trigger me into the sexual fantasies. And that's why I get so aggressive and anxious and need to flee. Because the one thing that's always the same is I always need to flee. I need to remove myself from the situation
I get
because
it.
it really feels dangerous to me.
I get it. It's so weird. I just thought of an event that happened to me where I was really, really triggered. And it was one of those things where it was completely overwhelming and extremely embarrassing for me for also no reason. Like, I look back at it and I'm like, I wonder why that was so embarrassing. Like, once upon a time, I had a boyfriend. And
Back in the day.
back in the day, I had a boyfriend and we were traveling and we were in Austria somewhere. And I remember we were at a restaurant or whatever, not restaurant, like a Wirtshaus, you know, like a very rustic place outside somewhere. It was really nice. And it was like a beautiful day. We had a good day. I was in a good mood. Like nothing was different. And I had ordered food and they brought the food and it was something different to what I had ordered. And my boyfriend realized, and he was like, "Isn't that something different to what you ordered?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm super embarrassed. I don't want to say it. I don't want to make it uncomfortable for them." And then he was like, "Okay, but are you going to eat it?" And I said, "No, because it had meat in it and I don't eat meat." And I said, "No, I'm not going to eat it." So he was like, "Well, what are you going to do then? Like, whatever." And he was just like, "Carla, just tell them it's not what you ordered. Like, it's fine. It's not your fault." And I was like, no. Oh my God, please, no. Let's not make a scene." And he was like, "Do you want me to say it? Like, I don't mind." And then, like, I swear to God, out of nowhere, I started like hysterically crying. And I was like, "No, oh my God, please, no, please, no." And I was like really crying and like shaking, and I physically reacted to it. And I was so embarrassed. And the poor guy was so overwhelmed. And he was like, "What's happening? What's going on? What just happened?" And I really couldn't say. I was like, "I have no idea. I don't know what's going on, but it's so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing." And I just remembered because you just said it. And I also was like, "You know what? Can we please just leave?" And we just left. Because I had to get out of the situation. We paid and we left. So bizarre. And I still don't understand what that was. But I have it, like, I remember it, like, as if it was yesterday. And it was so embarrassing. I wonder what that was.
You gotta talk to your therapist about
I know. I know. But basically, I think what we're saying here is that, you know, triggers are very often very unexpected and can be completely overwhelming. And again, I think it's this when you look back at it and moments when you're triggered, it's so interesting because you're like, why was I triggered? Like, it's so disproportional to what's happening. If you look back at it, usually it's like, well, that wasn't so bad or that wasn't so embarrassing, you know, if you think rationally. But again, in the moment, there's no place for rationality. It's just an emotional response.
Yeah, and I think the key thing to remember, when you do feel that you're being triggered, and you can tell, like if you're being triggered, it's very overwhelming, and your emotional response is not proportional to the situation. If you know that you're being triggered, I think it is a very useful thing to do. You should remove yourself from the situation. It is very helpful to get yourself somewhere where you can calm down. And also, whatever you say or do in that moment, you will regret.
Definitely, and I think that's a good point, and that's also why when we you know, when you listen to certain things or you watch certain things, there's often a so-called trigger warning. Because, like, why would you go into that situation unless you're extremely masochistic? But if you know something could trigger you, then definitely, you know, don't force yourself to do it. And I think it's interesting because even with our podcast, like we could literally have a trigger warning for every single episode. But I think it's very often these very common topics that trigger people, like eating, I don't know, counting calories, dieting, weight, but also depression, anxiety, suicidality, etc., that are just known for many people to be potentially triggering. But I also think you can definitely remove yourself from the situation. And I think if there's something, like if you, how should I say? Again, I think there's different kind of levels almost of being triggered. Like there's of course severe triggers, which are more like really triggers of like traumatic events that have happened, you know, that could be re-traumatizing. But then there's like smaller triggers, like in everyday life where you, I don't know, get an email with a cancellation of something and you kind of think like, oh my God, like life has ended, you know what I mean? Which is more like of a smaller trigger. But I do think in those smaller situations, just overall practicing a certain sense of awareness. Like again, I know I always pitch this, but I'm just a huge fan of like everything relating to yoga and meditation and anything that kind of practices awareness, because you learn to kind of first observe the situation and the feeling that arises and then reacting to it. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can kind of teach yourself to do that when you're being triggered, because when you're being triggered, you're being triggered. But I do think, long-term speaking, for smaller triggers, that could really help
Yeah,
to first
definitely.
observe it, acknowledge it, accept it, kind of increase resilience, you could say, even though I don't know why this word fucking triggers me, resilience. I don't know why. I hate it. But I think if you're, especially when you're being triggered by the same things all like over and over again, like when you kind of start to realize that there's a certain pattern, psychotherapy and everything that's like psychodynamic approach can be so helpful, because as I said, I think it's like a signal from your psyche being like, yo, yo, pay attention to this. There's something going on here. And you kind of have to connect the dots, like what's happening now and why, what happened in the past and what's happening right now with this whole situation. And that's
Yeah, so
where I say go to psychoanalysis.
go to psychoanalysis. There's also some things that really help. And they sound like really small things, but they're, at least with me, they're so beneficial. And for me, it's mostly not trying not to react in the moment, taking time to think about it for a bit, because it's always the case that when your emotions are heightened and when you're feeling a lot in reaction to something, you're not going to be able to express how you feel or what you want to tell the person. But another thing that I was thinking about is I often get triggered with feelings of like abandonment. And when I feel abandoned, I have so much anxiety and I really can't sleep. That's like my main thing. I don't know why, but whenever I feel abandoned, I can't sleep. And something that I found really helped me, which sounds so small, but just turning off your phone and putting it in another room somehow gave me like a that little bit of ease that helped me maybe get a few hours of sleep. So there's things that can really help you if you just kind of stop for a moment, think about what's going on, think about, okay, how can I help myself right now? Because it's really about helping yourself. There's nothing to feel guilty about. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You don't need to apologize to anybody. I think
Definitely.
the first thing you need to do, if you realize that you're not feeling well, is like, what can I do for myself right now?
Exactly. And you know what? I was thinking, I think sometimes when you're being triggered by something and you know you're being triggered, I think it can be very helpful to tell this situation to a close person to you and kind of get a reality check from them. You know,
Yeah.
not like in a condescending way that someone would be like, oh, come on, that's nothing. No. But when you're really overwhelmed with something and you just can tell a friend or a family member or someone you're close with, and them kind of repeating it in their words, kind of mirroring it back to you, for me, that can be extremely helpful because it kind of takes it out of your narrative because you're so in your head in that moment, and hearing it from someone else may actually decrease the effectivity of it, and you hear it more from like an objective point of view, and then you may think like, oh, okay, it's actually not that bad. You know what I read? It's interesting. Coming out of the psychoanalysis world, there is apparently like a tool that psychologists use, which is a scale where you have like levels from 1 to 10 of certain emotions, especially like anxiety and anger, which are often things that come up when you're being triggered, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a scale. And basically, it's a tool from the psychologists that they give to patients, and they say that when they react to something, so when they are triggered, let's say, you can like look at that scale and check yourself and kind of be like, okay, where is my level of anxiety in this moment at? And if it's over a 5, if your level of anxiety or anger is over a 5, then they say it's not really the event. It's not just the external one-time thing, but then it's actually something from the past that is being triggered that needs further inspection, which I think is interesting. But for me, always these scales are so difficult because I feel like if I am reacting in that moment and I look at a scale, I would definitely be like, it's a 10. You know, yeah. it's a 10. I always find it, and there's many people who downgrade themselves and then they would be like, no, but it's just a 2. It's just a 2. It doesn't matter. I always find that a bit difficult to like, when you yourself have to, when you yourself have to like put yourself in a, I don't know, evaluate yourself, I guess. It's very difficult. I'm also very easily overwhelmed by filling out certain questionnaires. You know those questionnaires when it's like a scale, like a, from a 1 to 5, you know, let's say it's a question like, I feel good today. And then it's like 1 is like not at all. And 5 is like very good. I will like for 25 questions do the middle thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I really have a problem with that.
Right? It's so difficult.
Also, sometimes I'm like, wait, but am I good?
Exactly.
I think so, but like, and you said, if I'm not?
Exactly. Exactly. And then it's the doctor's office because you guys know I love hanging out there. And I have to fill out a questionnaire, which is actually not really, like doesn't relate to the appointment at all. And then they're like, Ms. Blanchett, are you ready? And I'm like, no, not yet. I have to fill this out because I just cannot decide. I guess decisions are a thing that trigger me. I get very in a very panicky mode when I have to decide small things. It's weird. It's very weird. But I mean, we could like name endless things, a list of things that triggers us.
Yeah, but I think the point is this has been like a very simple episode, but I think it's still important. And I think there's like a really important message here, and it's when something triggers you, it's not about anything that's happening in the moment. There's something that you have not worked through from your past, and I think it's very, very important to go back and not try to find it, but just it's helpful to really, really reflect when you're being triggered, because it is also a good opportunity.
Mm.
It's a good chance to see where, what areas of your life you're not okay with, or what areas of your life are still painful to you.
Exactly. I agree. But I do think that there are certain events, which hopefully don't happen too often, where kind of everyone can be triggered, you know, whether it be the terrorist attack in Vienna in November, stuff like that, that triggers almost everyone. Definitely. And that's like an external event. But other than that, when we talk more like everyday life, I totally agree with you. And I think, as you say, it's a good chance to kind of like reflect and investigate a bit, like what's going on.
But even, I don't know, even the terrorist attack, I think it does trigger everyone, but in very different ways. And I think it is also maybe beneficial to reflect on that as well. Like, why do you feel a certain way about it?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
compared to somebody else who feels completely differently.
yeah, totally. I mean, listen, you know, here on my therapist said, we're all about the reflecting.
We
That's
love it.
literally all we do.
I know. I know.
So I'm always a fan. I never say don't reflect. But yeah, I hope that this episode was somewhat light and interesting to listen to, and maybe you guys can think about certain situations, things, phenomena that also trigger you and let us know. Maybe there are some like really weird ones out there that would be super interesting to hear. Because again, I think we're also different and everyone could be triggered by something else. So maybe someone is triggered by, I don't know, pigeons. Who knows? Let us
Yeah.
know.
Also, let us know if you disagree. We don't expect anyone to think that we're right, and we would love some nice debates going. If you don't agree with us, please hit us up. That would be amazing. We would love
Yeah, and we will try to reply as well. Imagine, you
it.
know, we get all the feedback and we just never
We
respond.
just ignore it because we're triggered.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. So thank you guys so much for listening and have
Thanks,
a good
guys.
day.